Shout out. Oh. me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. He loves me. Yes, he loves me. Jesus loves me. Sad, he loves me, and even when I'm bad, he loves me, and when it seems no one cares for me, I talk to Jesus. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. He loves me, yes, he loves me, Jesus loves me.
Time since I've heard that song. I don't know why it's been so long time since I heard that song. And that's a good song. Wow. It's one thing to know that Jesus loves you in John 3:16, and it's good to hear it that way, but it sure is good to hear it that way too. Wow. I'm thankful for the love of God. Because if we had to depend on man's love to get us to heaven, wow, we wouldn't make it. I'm thankful. Well, it's good to be here. It's good to, Greg done a good job of singing songs we hadn't had no clue on, some of them. I mean, it was real good, though, because sometimes it does us good to hear songs we don't normally do. And the words, man, some of them had some good words in it, even though we didn't do a good job singing it. But it sure was good. Man, like it. Well, I won't hold you long, but then I say that and it won't work. So I'd like to start in Psalms 34. I use this, and if I ask Tim, he'll tell me when. But I use this in times, it seemed like this year. But I want to go a little bit further down the journey with it. I want you to look at Psalms 34, and really it's just focusing on just a verse out of here. I really believe that there are things, when you get to the verse, it's going to bring your memory. I believe that there are things that God does for each and every one of us as a child, as his child. We are nothing special in the world. We're nothing special. The world looks at a person that goes to church and thinks they're wasting their time. On our journey up here from where we live, there were multiple churches not having Sunday night service.
And you say, well, it's a holiday weekend. We go by those same churches every week and they're not having Sunday night services. Years ago, that would have been, wow. Occasionally, we don't have them on occasion when it's a special occasion, we don't have. But for 48 weeks out of the year, we have Sunday night service. Now, does that make us any better Christian? No. But it is a thing that we have done because there's many blessings that you won't get on Sunday morning, you'll get on Sunday night. Amen. I don't know how to explain that. I wished I could. Sometimes it takes Sunday morning to get us in the mood to come to church on Sunday night. Many times on revival, the better nights of the revival seem like the one that's over with because you're in the right frame of mind to go to revival when it's over with. That don't make sense, but it happens. Tonight, I want to focus on what happens in this particular verse. I'm really not staying here long. I'm going to the book of Colossians. But I want you to hear this as we read it again. Psalms 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Let me read it again. The angel of the Lord encampeth or circles about. This is David was a military leader. He was a fighter. And being that, he knew about this encircling. The children of Israel, when they travel from location to location, whenever they would stop, the ark would go here and everybody else would encamp round about it. Okay? In my old days of cowboys and Indians, the cowboys always were stupid and they get their wagons in the middle and make a circle. And the Indians, they were stupider and they'd circle around them. That didn't make a lot of sense to me, but this makes sense. You know why it makes sense? The angel of the Lord is doing the camping about. He is circling. Now, I'm going to go a little bit further with this. Round about them that fear him. Now, there is a little bit more to it when he says, and delivereth them. Now, David, before we get started, I want you to listen to this. David had fled from King Saul. David would go and let's use the term, he ran away from Saul. But literally, wherever David went, Saul couldn't find him. But God knew where King David was at all times. He may have fled from King Saul, but the how, the why, and the purpose, God knew every bit of it. You see, it's not running when God leads your direction. And you know when the time that David was in the same cave that Saul laid his head down, you know it was the hand of God. Now, there are coincidental things that happen. No. But we claim that word. Well, it was just, that just happened. No, God works out little small details. And when you encamp about, that means the protection of God was all the way around you. Now, in the book of the same, look down at verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Now, if you remember, there was I use this verse on occasion. I don't go to it. I always just talk about it. So I want to read from it just for a moment. It's in the book of 2 Kings, and you don't have to turn. It's just going to be a couple of verses. 2 Kings, chapter number 6, and here's what I like to read. Verse 16, and he answered, fear not. Why didn't we start out with, and he answered, fear not? What was this question? Okay, let me get to the question. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host or the enemy compassed the city. What were they doing? Encamping round about. They were surrounded. They were surrounded. Now, it wasn't God surrounding them when he says this. It was the enemy surrounded. As a child of the king, being saved, we're in trouble when we see the enemy surrounding us. We make military decisions to prevent the enemy from surrounding us. We don't know it, but we don't like it. We never want to be surrounded. We want to surround them, but not them surround us. Listen. And he would risen early, gone forth, hold a host, compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And the servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? In my English, what in the world are we going to do? Now, here's how God looks at this. And he answered, fear not, because that was the first thing that that young man was going through. If you serve the Lord fearing the devil, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be miserable. You're not going to accomplish because of fear. You're going to be sidelined when you need to be in the battle. Fear is one of the things that causes a soldier on the front line to turn coward and run. But there's a difference between normal fear and godly fear. Let me go on. He answers and said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Didn't make sense to this young man. How in the world? My eyeballs see all the enemy. My eyeballs see that. And you're telling me there's more of us than it is of them? Don't make sense, does it? If you're speaking naturally, it don't make sense. Elijah prayed. Well, he knew it wouldn't get through to him. So the next best thing is to pray. And he said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. Now, I wanted to think just a moment. How could Elijah see him? How did Elijah know that God was there? We've been in the Christian way many years. And there are times as a child of the King that Holy Spirit breathes on us and we know God's there. We know it. There's not a doubt in our mind when we're breathed on by God, when God gives us a testimony, when God gives us a message, when God gives us something like that, we know it. We know that it's not from man. We know it from God. When Revelation says, in the third chapter, verse 20, when he says, I stand at the door and knock, if any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, means I will come in. It means the Lord dwells within us. We've got many verses to back that up. We know where God dwells. We know that God lives within us. But what we still face is the old human body with a human body elements. But Elijah knew God was there. He knew it. There's a difference when you know something and you think something. There's a difference when you have assurance of salvation and when you hope you're going to get there. There's a difference. There are people that suffer because they don't have that assurance. Hey, I got news for you. I'd hate to go to sleep. I wouldn't want to go to sleep because I'd be afraid I wasn't saved and I'd die in my sleep and hell'd be my home. Man, if I thought God couldn't save me in my sleep, Lord have mercy. But I know that I know. Let me go because I want to get over here and I want you to listen to this. So he prayed and he said, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And what he saw was, behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. Now, I believe that. I believe that his presence is with us and encamps about us. I believe that the Lord never forsakes us. With all of that said, now, go to Colossians. Now, I want you to listen. God is always nearer to trouble than we are. Now, how do you know that? Well, if we're in trouble tonight and God's camping about us, that means he's on the outside, preventing the devil from getting closer. He is closer to trouble than I am. Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 13. Who hath delivered us. I wish I had time. If I had time to go through the explanation of what the Apostle Paul said, in verses 8 he says, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. We know who that who is. So when he says it, he declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Look down in verses 13. Who hath also, and I'm adding that word also, but who hath delivered us from. Now, if you're delivered from, that means you're not where you were. That means you have been moved from where you were to a current location separate from where you were. Makes perfect sense to me. Don't know about you. But I want you to listen. He has moved me from or delivered me from the power of darkness. Now, whenever I read that about Elijah, it was very easy for Elijah not to be afraid because he saw. It was not easy for that young man to be afraid. It was the easiest thing on his mind. He opens up his eyes that morning. He said, oh Lord, looky here. What are we going to do? Now, me and you, as a born-again child of God, I believe in this eternal security. I believe that I'm saved till I'm already home. You just don't know it yet, okay? I am sure of that. Now watch this. Knowing that salvation is that real and that sure, I am not crazy enough to think that the devil can't tempt or do things to hinder me. Now, what we have got to understand is the Lord just don't sit back in the background and allow the devil to do what the devil wants to do. If that was the way it was, we couldn't handle the power of darkness. Power of darkness. The power of the devil is running in this world pretty rough. If you go to some of the Muslim countries, they hate the land of Israel and they'll do everything in their power to destroy it. You know it's not the people of Israel. You know who it is? It's their God. Now, they can say what they want to, but they think their God's greater, and they're out to destroy Israel. And this is with the Spirit of the Lord. The Holy Ghost of God is in this world right now, and the Holy Ghost of God is holding this thing together right now. Friend, you take away the Holy Spirit, you think it's bad now, it ain't nothing compared to what it's going to be. We'll all agree on that. But what I want us to see is that the Holy Spirit of God, the indwelling of the Spirit, does one thing. But the protecting hand of God is another thing. Now, it's kind of like this. In all kinds of jobs, in any kind of warehouse facility, you have some people that, like we had a parts people. All they had to do, they handled parts all day long. They couldn't tell you how to fix nothing, but boy, they could handle parts. They could order parts, they could do things, but they couldn't fix anything. And then we had other folks that could fix things, but they couldn't handle parts. And that's just kind of the way it is in everywhere, in all jobs. Experts in some areas and boy, pitiful in others. Right? Watch this. The Holy Spirit of God is never going to move. Never going to move. Once you've been born again, it stays. In that staying process, we allow God room in our life. Another subject, another day. But we allow God room in our life. What we're talking about is the outward fight of the devil. Verse 13 says, who had delivered us from the power of darkness. That means I'm delivered from the power of darkness. That doesn't mean I have to worry about darkness moving in. I don't have to worry about being demon possessed. I don't have to worry about that influence of the devil on the inside. There is no way under the sun that the devil can move back into my life, in my soul. I'm protected. Not by me, not by the power of the Word of God. I'm protected by the Godhead of the Holy Spirit. You can take that to the bank. You're protected. You can't be unsaved. God's in there. God's real. I'm going to heaven on that regard. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a member of a church. I'm going to heaven because I am possessed by God. Now keep that in mind. Look what it says further. The power of darkness. I'm reading, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us. Kind of means a change, don't it? Translated us into means he moved me to. He didn't leave me where I was. He moved me to. And when he moved me to, into the kingdom of his dear son. Notice, he didn't say, he could have said, into heaven. We done understood that. He could have said, into a better place. Could have said it, mean well. But he wanted us to know, the Apostle Paul wanted us to know right here that this kingdom in the very own Son of God. We're not paid and bought for by all the other things that could happen in the world. We're bought and paid for by what Jesus did, and the kingdom is Jesus' kingdom. And if we're going to get there, we get there through the blood of Jesus and no other way. No other way. He reiterates how we're paid for, how we have transitioned, how we move from darkness into light. We can go through many of scriptures and see that. But I want to just tarry with this darkness thing a moment. Ephesians chapter 2, it's not very far. Go over if you don't mind. And I want you to listen. if I have enough time, but I'll go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, listen to it. and you, not us, breaks it down to me and you. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That we understand, don't we? We understand that the power of darkness, that's where we were in. We're literally dead. Well, breathing, yes. Moving, yes. But from a soul standpoint, we were dead. Let me go back to that young man again. That young man, when he said, "How are we going? What in the world are we going? What are we going to do?" Man, if ever was a person that was scared to death, he was scared to death because he saw what the devil was doing, and he knew that there was more of them. And in a fight, numbers matter. Yeah. We'll leave that alone. I got enough time. But the truth of it is, when you're in that fear state, you don't think about what God has done for you when you're in that fear state. When you're in that faith state, you know what God has done for you. What God has done for me has, whenever He moved in, the change began to happen inwardly. That change, smoking, drinking, all those things we call pet sins of this world, those dissipate. They just go away. They don't happen. They're not there. What happens was, when God moves in, the old man's gone, new man is alive, that new man is different, but the new man can still live in fear. That's the scary part. The new man can be defeated. Not by God, but by himself. You ever got into a fight? You ladies don't have no clue. Maybe, I don't know. We see more girl fights in school, seem like, here lately. But anyhow, you ever got into a fight and think your head done got you in trouble because your mouth opened up and you should have been quiet? That's the dumbest thing you could do, is say something, and next thing you know, you're in trouble. How many times do we do that as a Christian? We let fear overtake us and we say the wrong thing when we should say the right thing. Let me show what I'm talking about. Here's what he said. Chapter 2, "And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Acts 26 will make a lot of sense. And I promise you, a few more minutes, please. Acts 26, I've got this one marked. Acts 26, listen to what it said. There's only one verse, 26 and verse 18. Oh, this is a lot to read, but this is the words of Christ. Let me just go 17. "Delivering them from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee." Here's what he says. "To open their eyes." Now, when the Lord is telling, when he is telling, Paul is before Agrippa at this part, but when God is speaking, God sent Paul, listen, "to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light." Amen. The biggest difference, that when you go into a room at nighttime and you have the wonderful invention called electricity, and you hit that switch on the wall, and that room that once was dark is immediately, instant, just like turned into light. You don't think a thing in the world about it. You just walk into that room. Now, if you let the power go out and you walk in that same room that's dark and you hit that switch and nothing happens, you say, "What in the world happened to the electricity?" Before, you didn't think nothing about it. You were expecting that electricity to work. I expect God that when he comes into a person's life, that darkness is instantly, immediately, the switch is turned on, and there is where once was darkness, where once was trespassing, where once was nothing but sin. I expect automatically instant light. See, God doesn't come on the installment plan. God comes instantly. Now, where the battle is outwardly. Because the devil, the power of darkness, attacks. What God does is perfect. Where we falter is we're looking. I'm beating this dead horse, but I want to show you something in a moment. He says, to open the eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. The Apostle Paul is quoting the Lord. Sanctification comes from God. A change comes from God. Nothing else will ever change an individual other than God. Nothing else. There is no power. There is no means. There's nothing that we can do to ever make this change possible. But God can. Now, how does God do it? Well, go back over just a moment and listen to what the young man saw. The young man was a servant just like everybody else was that was serving the Lord in that realm. And as they served the Lord, they had got to hear, listen, Elisha, what we would say, preach the gospel and tell about the power of God. Hearing the gospel and believing the gospel is two things separately. You can be lost and on your way to hell and hear the gospel. But believing the gospel is the difference. Yeah. Watch this. I want to read you something. You don't even have to turn. 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. And I want to read just one verse. Verse 19. And we know that we are of God. How do I know we are of God? Because there's a difference. That light went on where it was dark. That sanctification that we didn't have, we do now have because of Him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Now let me go my little step further. I really believe in a guardian angel. I really do. I believe God watches over me. I believe if we could see like Elisha saw, boy, it would change us. But God wants a change in us without the sight. When he prayed and he said, Lord, would you just let him see? He didn't say, take the eyesight away from me and let him have it. He said, let him see also. While we were on our trip, a young man, he was probably, maybe 18, 19 years old. He was totally blind. And he was going into one of them stores or something or another, and I just happened to be sitting watching like I normally do. I'm not a shopper. I'm a setter, okay? And I watched. He had the cane, and he was scanning it back and forth, even though he was being led by what I think was his mother. And he had a hold of her arm, And you could tell they had walked that way many times before because he just walked on at a good pace. But the whole time, he was scanning that stick to make sure he didn't run anything in his path. But his mother would not have led him into a dangerous path. If there would have been something, she would have veered left, veered right, said something to him, whatever would have been. It was totally dependent on where his mother was taking that blind person. Now, God could let me see the angels encamping about us. But if he let me see, my path might stray from the direction God wants me to go. And I don't know the direction, but he sure does. And he's not going to lead me too far to the left or too far to the right. He knows where he wants to lead me. The world lieth in wickedness. When it means it lieth in wickedness, it's all around. But God will lead me right straight through the land of wickedness on my way to heaven. And he will lead me right. I am not of this world. But friend of mine, I have to live in this world. And God has something for us to do while we're in this world. And we are not allowed to live separately, recluse life and say, don't have any contact with anybody. We need to be reaching the lost. They need to know the way of salvation. They need to know the way of God. And the only way to know it is let God lead us, knowing that we have help if needed. I'm glad of that little verse that Elijah said. God, would you just let him see. He didn't keep it. He didn't keep that power. That power was temporary. We don't recall of verses in the Bible where that repeated itself. We know about the angel of the Lord. We know he encamped round about us. We know that we have all this in our life. We know those things. And for me, that makes all the difference in the world that God is watching over. And when God is watching over, we just follow His lead. I'm not leading. He is. Oh, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I'm not trying to get through to heaven. Ain't you? Ain't you glad you don't have to do what other religions do? I'm glad, saved by God's grace, I don't have to work. I don't have to do anything in this world to qualify myself to go to heaven. Once I've been born again, I'm just as sure to heaven as if I was already there. Do I like going to church? Do I like being around God's people? Do I like praying, reading, and all those things? Yes, sir. I learn more from God each day. I'm around His presence. But there's one thing about it. He does the leading. And when my life is a mess is when I try to lead. I can't do it. He must lead. One quick question. Don't you think that was very important for Elijah to say what he said? Here's what he could have said. He could have said, you don't know this, but God has showed me we got help. Now, what that would have done was would have give the big head to Elijah. God's not after making big name preachers. What God's after is a message for all of us. And when we will accept the message for all of us, there's the blessings of God. But see, it's not about you or me. It's about what God is doing. And as much as God spoke to my heart, God will speak to yours. And you know, if you're lost without God, you say, well, you don't know me. I don't know you. I don't have to know you. God knows you. And because God knows you, He knows whether or not you're going to heaven or hell. That's a choice you get to make. And that choice is allowing God to move in. And if you allow that to happen in your life, you'll be a changed creature. The language you used to speak, you won't speak no more. What am I talking about? That old foul language. Can't stop my cussing. Get saved and you'll see how quick and easy it is. Can't stop my stealing. Get saved. You'll see how easy that is. Can't stop my unbelief. Get saved. You'll see how easy that is. I won't never want to go to church. Get saved. And you'll see how easy that is. Why? Because we passed from death unto life. You're here tonight. God loves you. Let's have a song of invitation. Really great. I wish I could tell you a story that would say, oh, this is a fairy tale story. No, I'm going to tell you the facts and the truths. I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, He loves you. I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that He cares for you and died that you might have life. Let's stand on our feet and sing a verse of a song. And if God's speaking to you, if God's speaking to you, these altars are open to you that you can come and kneel and pray and you can just spend time with God. And if you need help, I'll be right there and help you if you need it. Come tonight if you don't know Him in the free pardon of sin.